You're listening to the Ask Drone You podcast. You ask, we answer your drone questions. Whether you're here to turn your passion into profit or you simply fly for fun, we're a community of learners and teachers who aspire to achieve greatness. We are
Drone You.
Hey everyone, and welcome to another fantastic episode of Ask Drone You. My name is Paul, and joining me today is the always famous, always bringing us news, Mr. Haya Casello. Welcome to the show, my friend. How are you?
Very good, very good. Thank you for having me on the show, Paul. I think you owe me some money, don't you?
I think I do owe you some money, unfortunately.
I'll give you some Dutch directness to start the show off
with. I like it. I will say, though, I may or may not have a team looking in to see if Amazon got their Part 135 approval last November. So we are looking into that.
We can do double or nothing. It's fine with me.
Deal. But it seems like this week's drone news, we are finally coming to some sort of conclusion on what's going on with the Phantom line, as a lot of information has come out. DJI has also reached out to you and given us a load of, well, we'll figure out what it is when you tell us later. In other news, we also have some conferences coming up, but it seems like from rediscovering extinct flowers to discovering what's truly in our air, there are ways that drones are saving problems that we weren't quite aware of. What do you have for our first story this week?
Yeah, the first story takes us to Denmark, which is northern Europe, and they're actually going to use drones to measure the sulfur levels in the emissions of ships. So think of large tankers that cruise through the North Sea and into the Baltic Sea. They're going to use drones to fly into that smoke plume, if you will, of the ship to measure the sulfur emission levels. And they're going to use a Skeldar V200 drone, which is a large format, single propeller. It almost looks like a mini helicopter, if you will. They're made by Saab, the company that you may know from the older cars they used to make. And the interesting
Saab?
Thing is,
did you say Saab?
Saab was actually known for aircraft as well. They made fighter aircraft.
Wow, very interesting.
Cars. So they do have a pretty strong history in aerodynamics and airplanes and whatnot. So they're making these drones. They're large drones. They weigh about 522 pounds. They don't use battery power. They fly on kerosene. And the company received a special waiver that allows them to fly up to 30 miles beyond visual line of sight to fly out to these tankers and measure the sulfur levels in their emissions. So it's kind of these are not drones that you and I would be flying, but it's a cool story in a way to show what people are doing with drones in different industry and different aspects that you might normally never think about.
It also goes to show a dichotomy that's been present before Haya, which is that typically the U.S. is the last to the table that's really advancing drone technology, especially the regulatory hurdles that inhibit most operations like this. So it's encouraging to see Denmark saying, hey, we've got a problem, go solve it. You know, I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're doing this with European support. It's all the emissions that need to be checked go into a European database to make sure that all these ships don't admit too high sulfur levels. But to use drones to do those measurements is a smart and practical way of doing it. And it's cool to see that happen.
It is really cool to see it happen. But also in this week's news, we have something else that hasn't been seen in quite a long time. And it's also something cool that hasn't been seen in a long time. Haya, what do you have for us with drones discovering new flowers?
Yeah, this takes place in Hawaii in the Kalalau Valley, if I pronounce that correctly. You have very steep mountainsides, very steep, like inaccessible basically to human beings. And so researchers there have used drones to check out the vegetation and just look and see what kind of plants are there. And they found out that a flower that used to grow there but actually was destroyed in a larger landslide. And they haven't seen this, I think, since the 1990s, so it's been a while. And the flower was thought to be extinct, but they rediscovered it. And it goes by the name of Hibiscus delphus woody. Kind of an interesting name, Latin. I don't even know if I say it correctly, but either way, they thought the flower was totally wiped out and gone. And now they're monitoring these mountainsides with drones, and they find out that the flower is still there. And yet another example of how drones are used and how they come to cool results and discoveries.
Yes, it is definitely cool. It makes me wonder about that old story where a helicopter had hit a drone in Hawaii, Could have been a drone doing some research, trying to find some flowers.
Yeah. Very likely.
No, I think it's really cool that, you know, drones are literally discovering plants and animals, as we say, New Mexico, flora, fauna, in places in the world where they have thought to be extinct. So that is truly awesome. But not only are drones taking us to new heights, literally, but they're also finally developing a pathway as an air carrier into our skies to develop a program like what Amazon had showcased us back in 2013. But Amazon looks like it's not to the forefront of this race, and it does look like I have officially lost the bet with Haya. Haya, what do you have for us this week?
Wing Aviation, and not Amazon, gets the first FAA approval for a drone delivery service here in the US. And they couldn't get this, they couldn't get a regular permit for this. They actually had to classify as an air carrier and basically live up to all the standards that come with running an air carrier business. So you get into things like seat belts and flight attendants and all that stuff. Stuff that doesn't apply, of course, to a drone delivery service, but still. So Wing Aviation apparently has gone through a very laborious process to get this approval, but they pulled it off and they're now going to be allowed to start using their drones for delivery services here in the US. Now, initially, they're going to do it in rural areas of the US, not in densely populated areas, let's say like New York. Rural areas, I think, very similar in the way that they do it in Australia. We know in Australia, people have complained about the noise levels of these drones. And I think to be more proactive here in the US, they've done a large outreach to the community where they're going to be flying these drones to inform people about what these drones are, how it's going to work, what people can expect. And I think they try to do at least a better job of informing the people to hopefully get a higher level of acceptance. Very cool news, of course, the fact that we're going to get a first drone delivery service here in the US. And I'm very excited to see what we can learn more once they start their flights. And they expect to be starting in a couple of months from now, so it shouldn't be too much longer.
Wow, it is fascinating. It was also fascinating that they did go under Part 135 to become an air carrier, but it makes you wonder if they wrote things in their application like, we put seatbelts on the model aircraft seat to showcase that we have seatbelts, but that we don't need them. It would be interesting to see this process that you speak of that they went through and exactly how things worked out. Because there has been some consensus in the community, Haya, a question that keeps coming up over and over, which is there a particular reason why the FAA did not allow for, what is it called, package delivery for hire under Part 107? And it seems like the consensus on the internet or in the community is saying that the FAA did this on purpose to specifically and slowly slow track these companies to give the FAA time to essentially help them overcome some of the hurdles for drone delivery. Have you heard anything about this with your research?
Not specifically, but it makes a lot of sense what you're saying, because I think for the FAA, there's at least in the short term, there's not that much for them to win. There's more a lot of reputation to lose and risk that is involved in launching a drone delivery service. So to me, it makes sense that they would want this to be a slow start and not just open up the floodgates and have drones flying all over the place. I was surprised that they launched the pilot integration program last year and they were going to run these tests the way that they do now. I mean, that seemed pretty ambitious, and I'm happy that they're doing that. But it would make sense for the FAA to kind of slowly start up drone delivery services, test the waters first, make sure we iron everything out and that this is a safe operation before you open up the floodgates and have 20 different companies doing this all over the place. So to me, it makes a lot of sense.
100%. You know, one question you bring up here, Haya, though, is that, you know, essentially there were these drone testing grounds to allow for the testing of BVLOS flight, for the testing of some of these things. But if I understand it correctly, Project Wing has been testing in Australia and New Zealand. Is that correct?
Australia for sure. I'm not sure if they did New Zealand as well, but in Australia they do it over semi-urban areas. I mean, not densely populated. And I think what they've done here in the US is look for similar areas where you have people that live at some distance away where delivery by drone actually makes sense. And even though these are real commercial drone deliveries, You can argue that it's still in the testing phase, of course, where it's going to be rolled out in smaller areas. They have a number of drone flights per day, and they'll ramp things up as they learn more and figure out what the best practices are.
Yeah, it's very interesting, too, as well as seeing the first medical delivery of an organ earlier this week as well. But like you say, here we are, 2019, and the United States is finally getting drone delivery. So that is news in itself.
It's happening, and it's exciting times in that sense.
It is exciting times for sure. It's also exciting times for another company that you would think of by the name that you're going for a long ride down a cable, but it seems like that may not be the case.
No, now we're talking about Zipline. Zipline is a company, even though they're based out of San Francisco, they are very active in Africa, and I think mostly in Africa. Although I do believe they're actually also involved in one of the tests here in the US currently. But in Africa and Rwanda, they've been flying their Zipline drones, fixed-wing drones, to deliver blood samples and medication to very rural parts of the country. And you got to think that in Rwanda specifically, when there's a lot of rainfall, the roads, I mean, there aren't really roads the way we know them, of course, here in the US. They're basically mud paths. And if there's been a lot of rain, it becomes inaccessible almost. So to get blood samples or medication from a distribution point to a medical facility anywhere could be a matter of a full day just to get there. And if you take these drones, you fly in 20, 30, 40 minutes and you can drop off your package. And Zipline works with these little parachute systems where they just fly over the drop-off location, drop the parachutes, and that's how they deliver their medication, blood samples and whatnot. Now, the story here is that they're actually, what I was talking about earlier took place in Rwanda. Now they're doing it in Ghana as well. And they've launched a service in partnership with the government to start up a nationwide drone delivery program.
Wow, that is fascinating and awesome, all in the same sentence. And I mean, it is really cool.
It is cool, and they do it on a large scale. I mean, they're flying 30 drones from 4 distribution centers to deliver medical supplies to about 2,000 healthcare facilities across the country daily. So we're not talking like small scale and then testing the waters. I mean, this is just a rollout of a drone delivery program the way you would envision that.
So would you say that Zipline has scaled their operations more than Google?
I would think so. I mean, Google's been testing for some time, so they must have had a large number of flights. But Zipline, I think, is like 13,000 flights by now or something.
Wow.
I doubt Amazon or Google would come anywhere near those numbers. They've been very successful and very active for a number of years. I think in Rwanda, they started, I believe, in 2016. So they've been doing this for some time. And now with the plans that they have for Ghana, I mean, yeah, they know what they're doing. And the reason why they're actually in these African countries, of course, is that the regulatory framework isn't as restrictive as it is in, let's say, Western Europe or in the US. So they can launch programs at a larger scale much easier and much faster than they could here in the US.
Wow, that is fascinating. Yeah. I'm excited for Zipline. I think they're doing some really good things for humanity as a whole. But as we move on from drones for good and now into drones for bad, it seems like we are back in the rumor mill. The DJI flagship line of drones is back in the headlines again, Haya. And it seems like there are new pieces of information as you have come out with a 3-part story on what is going on with the Phantom series from DJI. What is going on?
There's a lot of stuff going on. We decided to break it up in 3 different stories because otherwise it would just become this one lengthy article. And I know online people have zero patience, so nobody would make it to the end. So we broke it up in 3 pieces, starting with the Phantom 4. It's been out of production. It's been out of stock since early November last year. It was supposed to be back in stock at some point. It still hasn't. It's been out of production. We've seen that in messages that were sent by DJI support on Twitter to customers. And most recently, we had Romeo Dersher from DJI say that the DJI Phantom 4 line is pretty much done, game over. And if you listen to him, you may wonder if there is actually going to be a future for the Phantom line, the way he said it. So we wrote this article. It wasn't the first article, by the way, that we wrote about the DJI Phantom 4 being pretty much game over. But we started this rumor series again with going back to the Phantom 4, talk about that first. And then we spoke about the Phantom 5. And what we've learned, and we've had this information for about the last 10 days, that apparently the Phantom 5 line has been cancelled. And we tried to confirm these rumors as best as we can, and we were fact-checking through different channels, and we felt confident enough to put at least this article out there saying that, hey, based on what we know today, it is more than likely that DJI will not continue the Phantom line, and there will not be a DJI Phantom 5. Now, going back to 2018, early summer, we, of course, have seen those prototype models that looked like Phantom 4s with interchangeable lens systems. And the latest rumors we had later in that year was that there were going to be two models for the DJI Phantom 5, one with a zoom lens and then one pro version where you would have interchangeable lenses. That would have been most likely a 15 or 16 mil lens, 24, 35 and 50. And we've seen different of these lenses show up in leaked photos. DJI always denied that this was a Phantom 5 and they said, oh, this is just a prototype, a one-off for an enterprise customer. We and many other people in the drone industry have always wondered whether that would be the case, because it seems very, very expensive to make a one-off version of a Phantom when you can easily just get an Inspire drone and use that for the same purposes. So we never really bought into that story. However, now based on the latest information, it seems that in all likelihood, there isn't going to be a Phantom 5. Of course, maybe plans change in the future. Maybe in 2020 there might be, but based on what we know today, that seems very, very unlikely. Now, this brings us to the third part of the story, which is the Mavic 2, the zoom and the pro models. The Mavic 2 is a very capable drone. I mean, we've seen that already in the way it flies. We've seen that in photo capacity for sure. Video capacity or the quality of video material isn't as great. We know that as well. What we also know is that they've been developing the Mavic 2 Pro, and they came out with the enterprise model. They mount a speaker, a strobe light. What's the third one that they have? LED lights, spotlight, and a speaker. And then they came out with the Dual. So you can see that you can mount different things on a Mavic 2 and it will fly just fine. And what I'm getting at is that it wouldn't surprise us if they come out with a, let's say, a platinum version or a version 2 of the current Mavic 2 at some point with a better camera and gimbal construction, where potentially you would see a global shutter, maybe even a adjustable aperture as well, where they provide the photo and video quality that we know and love from the Phantom 4 Pro, but now get that same level of quality available for a Mavic 2. Now, based on the information that we've received, this is the direction that DJI is going to take. Rather than developing the Phantom 5 series, they're going to emphasize the DJI Mavic 2, mostly because of its portability, flight capabilities, and just further develop that product line. Now, we know that the original DJI Mavic Pro has been DJI's best-selling drone ever. So even though the Phantom is the most iconic drone, I mean, you could say that if you compare it to a car manufacturer like Porsche, the Phantom is probably their 911 model. I mean, everybody knows DJI because of the Phantom. However, if you look at sales numbers, it's the Mavic line. So in that sense, it kind of makes sense for DJI to make the DJI Mavic 2 a better drone than it already is, and push that drone. And yeah, you get, of course, the advantages of having a small foldable drone that you can easily take with you anywhere, anytime, and deploy it. And if you need more than a Mavic, you'd have to step up to an Inspire. That's the arguing.
Gosh, the amount of issues I have with this one are not even funny.
And I mean, if it was up to me, I hope that DJI does launch their Phantom 5. I was hoping to get my hands on one myself. I'd be excited for Phantom 5, but I'm not sure it's going to happen.
It's also very interesting, too, as well as we see these rumors that DJI is coming out with an action camera and all these smaller gimbals. It's like the Phantom is literally what developed DJI into the global powerhouse that it is today. So for them to drop that would just showcase significant issues. And I actually wrote an article about this, Haya, because I believe that there's a lot of things that the Phantom has that the Mavic does not. And very simply stated, there's a couple things I want to go over really quick, but that global shutter, right? Everyone loves a Phantom because you can map with it. You can do great buttery smooth video with attitude mode, which a lot of people are using. But not only that, if you dump a Phantom for whatever reason, let's say a rope from a wakeboarder ends up hitting your drone and sinks it. Or let's say that, you know, someone crashes a drone into a tree or someone does something else. Well, typically it would only be a $1,500 mistake. And if you had some sort of insurance, then typically you're only paying the deductible, or maybe you're one of the smart ones and you got DJI Care Refresh. Either way, the Phantom was a tool that could handle all different types of different weather scenarios because of the way that it was built. Because of the X design, the X-shaped design, because of the center of gravity and the way that the drone was built overall, it could handle situations that simply a Mavic really can't. And Haya, in my experience from filming wake surfing and actually on the shoot that I won video of the year in the World Series of Wake Surfing, I actually had to fly a Mavic because I had run out of Phantom batteries. And one movement that I was trying to do over and over, this one particular movement, is just essentially moving around the bow of the boat as it's on the move. And you know the movement is smooth because it literally looks like the boat is not moving at all. That you are just this perfect rotation around the boat as it's moving. And one thing I noticed is that for whatever reason, the Mavic series really has difficulty handling coordinated banking turns. I'm not sure what it is, but for some reason, it can never hold a specific yaw value. I mean, literally, even when we essentially put this device to hold the stick in place, the drone would overcorrect because it simply couldn't power up. I'm not really sure what it was, but this movement could never be achieved in a Mavic. Yet with a Phantom, it was very easy to pull off over and over. And you know, there's a much bigger issue here, Haya, and that is client perception. For all the drone service providers out there who are using Phantoms, whenever they show up for a job with a Mavic, typically they have to show up with another drone as well, even if it's not charged and not ready to fly, just purely for the perception that they're a professional drone pilot. So it's interesting to see how that will change, but it's also more interesting to see how this particular drone, which is great for hand catching, it's great for flying in high winds, it's great for if you're flying a sailboat race and you need to catch the drone in a 35 mile an hour wind, no big deal. Try doing that with a Mavic. And oh yeah, it doesn't have attitude mode. So frankly, the Phantom has become the Toyota of drones, Haya. I don't know how to explain it other than that. It's reliable.
Oh, yeah.
It works. And it's great, and it is a tool. It is the DeWalt of drones. And for DJI to waffle on this issue is concerning at best.
I would totally agree. I mean, there are some things that you can improve a Mavic with that might make it a replacement for a Phantom drone. For instance, the global shutter, you can probably get that on your Mavic as well. So there are certain things you can upgrade a Mavic to take care of the things that otherwise you wouldn't have, but with a Phantom 4 you would get. On the other hand, yeah, perception, having a more professional looking drone like a Phantom, you can't do that with a Mavic, obviously. The hand catching, all that stuff, that's not going to work. To me, the biggest one might actually be just the fact that DJI built their brand and their recognition based on the Phantom. Like if you ask a kid, like, draw me a drone, they're going to draw you a Phantom. Nobody's going to draw you a Mavic. Like the Phantom is the drone, the iconic drone that made the brand and that made drones, yeah, well recognizable and well known around the world. So to walk away from such an icon, I think could well be a mistake just for that reason by itself, apart from all the reasons that you just brought up.
I couldn't agree more, and I'm also really interested what some of our listeners have to say. So if you have a comment or opinion on this, make sure to go into the Drone U community, or make sure to upload that question to AskDroneU.com, or simply leave Haya and myself a comment on the Drone DJI website in one of these three articles. But Haya, either way, I agree with you as well. For this to be the flagship, for them to just go, we're done,
makes you good.
Yeah, it makes you question, are they opening up the door for another manufacturer to come in and say, okay, we're going to give you a global shutter, we're going to give you a big sensor, we're even going to give you pilot responsibility, which could be argued that the Supreme Court ruling on owning devices once you purchase them could be, it's questionable how that could be argued in itself. But if we could get all those factors or all those features in a drone, there's a huge opportunity for someone to totally disrupt this market right now.
If they're able to deliver, yes, for sure, for sure. One last thing I want to point out for the Mavic series is the smart controller. is going to play a crucial role. With DJI's latest update, you're now able to actually manage a fleet of different Mavic drones from your smart controller. So as we've seen in original Dobo's video that we also shared on Drone DJ, you can actually fire up two Mavics and switch from one to the other from your smart controller, which is really cool. What we also know is that DJI is going to further develop the smart controller, obviously, and most likely you'll be able to run third-party apps straight from the controller. So going back to the future of the DJI Mavic 2, in combination with the smart controller, they're clearly focusing on commercial and professional drone operators with that drone. So maybe the whole perception thing about you have to have a Inspire or a Phantom to be perceived as a professional drone pilot, maybe that's not going to hold true in the future. We shall see.
We shall. Well, thank you for another week of exciting news. I think we actually made significant progress in the drone world today. But also, it seems like there's significant progress. Before we go, I know we have to mention a couple of conferences that were just announced. And you go ahead with the first one. DJI comes out with their next conference. Maybe we'll see the Phantom 5 there. Who knows?
I doubt it. AirWorks 2019. Last year was Dallas, Texas. This year they're going to do it in LA, in California. It's going to take place from September 24th to September 26th, and it's at the Bonaventura Hotel, I believe. So mark that in your calendar. And of course, this week, you have AUVSI taking place in Chicago. I'll be there. I know you won't be able to make it. I think Vic is going, right?
Yeah, Vic is going to cover everything for us because at this point in the season, this is kind of the busy season. I'm surprised that this conference is going on at this time, but yet when you think about the origins of this conference, it's not surprising. This has always been focused around government, military, and big corporate operations. Obviously, we've seen more and more DSPs there and small-time manufacturers. I am sad to not be hanging out with a lot of the drone crew, Drone Gandhi, Drone Jesus, you know, everyone from every culture around the world is going to be there.
Pretty much. So
I am sad for that aspect of it, which I think is the most fun part of every drone conference, is just the group of people that are there. But also, I can't forget to announce a conference that I'm very excited about. I do have to disclose, I am speaking at this conference, so I have to just make sure that that is out there. But Pix4D is throwing a photogrammetry conference in Denver, Colorado on October 2nd and 3rd in 2019. And this will be, again, in downtown Colorado, which, by the way, if you've never been, Hyatt, Colorado, especially Denver, Lodo, it's a fantastic area. We actually did our first aeroscope test there with DJI a couple years ago at the top of the Warwick Hotel. And that is by far one of my favorite places to fly. So if you haven't been, the sunsets are incredible. It lives up to its name. And really excited to see what Pix4D has. If you guys, if anyone, girls, guys, whoever you are, if you are flying drones and you are doing mapping and you want to learn a lot of the more advanced pieces about photogrammetry, this is a conference you will not want to miss, as subject matter experts will be in there. I mean, guys who are doing surveying, people who are doing, you know, really good 3D modeling, it's going to be many different facets of photogrammetry, so be sure to check it out, pix4d.com.
Absolutely.
Well, that's it, Haya. Sorry, I know I kind of went on a rant there. But AUVSI, I got all the press releases, and there wasn't anything crazy exciting in there. I was like, oh, turbine engines, that's cool. Like, oh,
I'm flying out Tuesday morning early. I'll be there Tuesday and Wednesday, flying back to New York on Thursday. So I'll check it out, see what they got this year. I was there last year in Denver, Colorado, and I agree. Colorado or Denver is an awesome town.
It really is. Hey, you know what? It reminds me, Bell Helicopters will be at AUVSI this week. And I unfortunately missed the opportunity at CES to be able to fly their simulator. Well, I don't know if you know this, but there's like a hidden competition in the drone industry right now for who has the smoothest flight on that Bell Avatar helicopter. And I haven't been able to fly it yet, but two DroneU students literally round out second and fourth place right now. So I'm really trying to get on the simulator right now.
I'll give it a shot. If they let me in, I'll see if I can get my name on the list. Who knows?
Right, let's see how it goes, Hyatt. Hey, well, guys, on that bombshell, Hyatt, thank you so much for joining us on the show again. for another news episode coming a little bit late this week, as always. But we are like you. We're humans. We have schedules. We have families. We have responsibilities. And unfortunately, I've been traveling this week. So, Hyatt, thank you again for coming on the show, my friend, and look forward to doing it again all next week.
Thank you, man. Pleasure being on your show as always. So looking forward to the next one.
Definitely looking forward to the next one. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that is going to do it for us today. Thanks again for watching. Don't be afraid to leave us a review or subscribe to get those shows automatically. That way, whenever we do the shows, you're going to get them. Well, that's going to do it. You're listening to another awesome episode of Ask Drone U.
We believe that videos, images, words, and sounds have the absolute power to inform, inspire, and entertain. We reject indecision, confusion, and vanity, for they work against the community. We are united under the virtues of safety and knowledge. We are a training community of learners and teachers who encourage and energize each other to achieve greatness. We are pilots, videographers, photographers, freelancers, business owners, enthusiasts, experts, and apprentices. We are creators. We are the Drone U.